In my preparation for this morning, I was reading Jeremiah 32, and I had a different message on my mind when I started in my preparation, but I was reminded of this message that I may have shared here at the church sometime. I don't think I have, but it was a reminder in Jeremiah 32. It says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too hard for you." Then further on in the chapter it says, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" Well, of course, most of us would answer, no, there's nothing too difficult for God. But in fact, the Bible tells us there are some things that God cannot do. May seem very strange, but I wanted to remind us of those this morning. So these are the notes that I gave you a little bit. I've just mentioned five of them. There are many others, and I will talk about some of them. I spoke about one of them with the children here. God cannot grow old. God is everlasting. He's always the same. He never changes. But what are some of the other things that God cannot do? Number one, God cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6 says this, "God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged." And Titus says, "A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promises before the beginning of time." Why is this so important, friends? Why is it important for us to understand that God cannot lie? What is one of the names of Satan? What is he called? The father of lies, isn't he? He is the father of lies. So it's absolutely vital for us to understand, friends, that God is the total opposite end or opposite to who Satan is. Satan's natural language is lying. The sad reality is, friends, we fall for that lie, don't we? We all think the things that Satan promises, promising wealth and success and importance and achievement and all those things, if you just would trust in him. If you think of when Satan was trying to tempt Jesus, friends, he was promising all these things to him. If only Jesus would worship him, then, but Satan was lying, friends. He could never give those things to Jesus because he never had them in the first place. So how's that encouragement to us, friends? Here is some of the encouragement to us. Number one, we can remember, friends, that if God doesn't lie, all of his promises are true. There is not a promise in Scripture, friends, that God has not kept or has fulfilled. Friends, there are many promises that he still has to fulfill. But if his track record is anything like it has been up until this point in time, friends, the reality is his track record into the future is something we can look forward to. Secondly, friends, we can put our complete trust in the Word of God. Because if God never lies, friends, his Word doesn't lie. It's a wonderful encouragement for us. Friends, there are many different prophets who have come over the centuries who have claimed to have the final word from God. They are the ones, friends, who claim that their truth, their scriptures You got things like the Book of Mormon. All these different books, friends, that many people have dreamt up over the years, friends. But there is only one word. There is only one Bible. There is nothing, friends, we need to add to this. There is nothing we can take away from it, friends, which would make it any less true. It is the foundation upon which we can build our lives upon. There are many who have tried to miss or to make us not trust the Bible, friends. But friends, over the years, many scholars who have tried to show that the Bible is not true, friends, have discovered that the Bible is true in every single way. Why is the truth important? Because, friends, Jesus reminds us that the truth sets us free. We're not in bondage, friends. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 28, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Friends, there's so many deceptive things in our world today. Let me give one example, the deception of gambling. There's such a wonderful, you know, when you look at all the adverts for gambling, if you just play this game, you can win R1 million, or can you win 10 million rand, or you can win 100 million rand. Or I saw one of those adverts today for one of these gambling things overseas. You can win 2.5 billion rand. Wouldn't that be nice? But do you know how much money South Africans lost last month? South Africans lost 1 trillion rand last month to gambling. It was in the news this week. I read it today. 1 trillion rand. That's 1 million rand, friends. South Africans lost this last month to gambling. No wonder the gambling industry is able to sponsor so many things. Friends, because they promise a lie. They promise you'll win lots of money, but the reality is every single gambling machine, friends, is designed for you to lose money. There is no possibility for you to beat the gambling machines. Secondly, God cannot lie. Number two, God cannot be tempted with evil. James chapter 1 and verse 13 says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil." Friends, that's what Satan tried to do with Jesus in the wilderness. He tried to tempt him with evil. If you would just eat this, then you would be satisfied. You would have all your needs met if you just turned the stones into bread. When he stood on the corner of the temple and he overlooked the country of Israel, and Satan said to him, if you would just bow down to me, I will give you dominion over everything. Friends, he was appealing to Jesus's a desire for power. But Jesus had given that up. Friends, deity, God, cannot be attracted by evil. There is nothing in evil that can attract God. Hellishness, friends, hell is repulsed by holiness. God cannot be in the presence of evil. You remember the account of when Isaiah saw the vision of God. As he saw the vision of God in Isaiah chapter 6, And he saw God up there, and he saw the angels saying to each other, "Holy, holy, 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 holy." What's the first thing Isaiah did? He said, "Lord, I am unclean. My words are unclean." Friends, holiness cannot be in the presence of evil. Why? Because, friends, evil and purity don't mix. Look at what Titus chapter 1 and verse 15 it says. "To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and their conscience are corrupted." You see, friends, when we see evil around us, when we see wickedness around us, we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised when evil people do evil things. That's why, you know, from those of us from the pulpit are saying, we don't need revolution, friends. We need revival in our country. That's what we need. We need people's hearts to change, friends. Because it's only when the Spirit of God comes to convict people of their need of God, friends, that we will be able to rid our society of the evils that are overwhelming us. Because, friends, God cannot be tempted by evil. God, once God is in your life, friends, evil is always distasteful. Oh, you may be attracted to go there from time to time. And we all have weaknesses and we all fail from time to time, friends. But in the end, if God is in your heart, friends, you will be dissatisfied with the evil that the world is providing. God cannot be tempted with evil. Thirdly, God cannot tempt mankind. God never tempts us. Look what it says in that same passage. "When tempted, nobody should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor can he tempt anyone." Friend, God doesn't tempt us. God tests us, but he doesn't tempt us. Temptation, friends, is there to cause us to fail. That's temptation's work. The work of temptation is to draw you away from God. But the work of testing is to draw you closer to God. As God takes you through trials and testings, friends, the reality is it's when you're going through those difficult times that you become more and more dependent upon God. If you just think of people like Job, many people say, well, Job was tempted. Friends, Job wasn't tempted, Job was tested. God took away his wealth, God took away his family, God took away his friends. And Satan kept on saying to him, if you would just take those things away, then Job would be tempted to curse you, friends. Even Job's wife said, "Job, why don't you curse God? Because all these things are happening to you." But Job, friend, knew that the tempting, the testing was to grow him, to remind him. I said this a couple of weeks ago. Friends, we need to remind ourselves on a regular basis that we will never know God is all we need until God is all we have. Friends, when you realize God is all you have, there is nothing more that you need, friends. The wonder is, even when God allows testings to come into our lives, friends, He never allows them to overwhelm us. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 10. No temptation or testing has seized you except what is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not let you to be tempted or tested beyond your ability to bear. For when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it, friends. Even when temptation comes, friends, God will be with us. God won't just allow us to be tempted beyond our ability, friends, to handle it. Why? Because, friends, God always works in all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. God cannot tempt you, friends. God will test you. God will allow temptation to come so that you can be tested. But it's not God who is tempting you, friends. It's the devil who's tempting you. God may be using that temptation to remind you to put your trust and your faith in him. But even in the process of being tempted, friends, God is there to help you, because his desire is to strengthen you and grow you in all possibilities. Number four, God cannot change. Spoke a little bit about that with the children this morning. Malachi says, I, the Lord, do not change. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Friends, that's the one thing, wonderful thing. If God doesn't change, friends, as we've already said this morning, his word doesn't change. Heaven and earth will pass away, friends, but his word remains forever. His word, friends, doesn't change. It's been there from the time of its revelation, and we still have it today. One of the great reasons why we can trust the Bible, friends, is because of the preservation of the word. Let me give you one example, one that you will all know about, are the great tablets that were found in Jerusalem, not too, or just outside Jerusalem. Friends, for a long time, the only manuscripts we had of the Old Testament were manuscripts that were from somewhere around 300 or 400 AD after the death of Jesus. Then suddenly there was a little boy who was throwing some stones into a cave one day because he was looking for his goats that had run away. And as he threw his staves into those caves, he heard something break like a pot break. So he climbed up the side of the mountain and he went in there, and there he found what we now know as the Dead Sea Scrolls. And there, friends, were manuscripts of the Bible, of the Old Testament, that dated from somewhere between 400 and 200 before the death of Christ. So suddenly we had a piece of paper that had been written 400 to 600 years before the earliest one that we had at that point in time. And you know, when they compared those two, the Dead Sea Scrolls with the manuscripts that we had, friends, they found that almost to 99.9% accuracy, what was in the Dead Sea Scrolls manuscripts was what they found in the manuscripts we already had. Isn't that incredible? Friends, God's word hasn't changed. Even although for 600 years we lost the paper, for 600 years, when they found the paper that was 600 years older than the one they had before, friends, nothing had changed. Friends, God's word does not change. It's the most trustworthy religious text there could ever be. There is nothing more trustworthy than that. But friends, while we know God cannot change, we can. And the wonderful thing, friends, is if we do change, friends, God will accept us and receive us when we change. Listen to what Jonah says. You remember Jonah went to the city of Nineveh. And the city of Nineveh, nobody believed they would ever change because it was a wicked place. Then in Jonah chapter 3 it says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their wicked ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. He had sent Jonah to go and pray, preach in the city of Nineveh, and to tell the people of Nineveh, if they didn't change, friends, God would destroy them. But when Jonah preached and brought the message of God, the people changed, friends, and God, friends, received them because of that. Friends, God desires for us to change. There's one last thing I want to remind us about today. God cannot lie. He cannot be tempted by evil. He cannot tempt anyone. He cannot change, friends. And because he cannot change, friends, there's a very frightening thing that we need to realize. God, friends, cannot help you if you do not obey him. That's the reality, friends. God cannot save those who do not obey him. Friends, if you shake your fist in the face of God all of your life and you say to God, I don't need you, I don't need you, I don't need you, get out of my life. Friends, why should God, after your death, say, okay, well, now you can come to me? Friends, if you say to God, I don't want you, before you die, friends, God's not going to change and take you after you died. Listen to what it says about Jesus. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the eternal source of salvation. For who? For those who obey him. Friends, Jesus is the source of salvation for those who would obey him. God will save those who put their faith and their trust in him. God loved the world that whoever believes in him will know eternal life, friends. But it says in Mark 16, it says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Friends, God's not going to change. Don't think, you know, oh, God's a nice old man. He's going to be kind in the end. He'll forgive us all those wrong things that we've done. You know, we just, you know, that's the message that many people have today about God. God is love. Because God is love, he's never going to reject anybody, friends. I want to remind you, yes, God is love, but God is also holy. And because he is holy, friends, he cannot be in the presence of sin. And if you continue to carry sin in your heart, friends, you cannot be in the presence of God. So the Bible is very clear. Whoever repents will be saved. But whoever does not believe, friends, will be condemned. God's not going to change. Don't think you're going to get a second chance one day when you die. This is your time, friends. This is the time for you to receive the God who never changes. What are some of the other things that God doesn't change? Well, friends, God can never stop being God. God is God, and He will always be God. There is only one God. We should never lose sight of that. Friends, God can't be taught anything new, because God knows everything. God doesn't have to go to high school. God knows it all, friends. There is no problem in this world that God can't solve. Friend, God knows everything. Every issue that you have, friends, God cannot change His will. His ordained will, friends, because God is sovereign. What God has decided is what God has decided. We should never. But I want to end with one last one, friends. God can never lose one of His children. That's my encouragement today, friends. Jesus reminds us, friends, that not only are we in His hands, but Jesus' hands are in the Father's hands. And as long as we are in the hands of Jesus, and Jesus is in the hands of the Father, friends, we can never lose what God has given us. God never changes, friends. Things God cannot do. Well, you've got a choice today. You can choose to follow Him, or you can choose to say, I don't need you, God. God's given you that choice. You can change. You can choose to stay as you are, but friend, you can choose to obey God. My encouragement to you, friend, is obey God today and be saved. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that you are from everlasting to everlasting. Thank you, Lord, that you never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, thank you that your word doesn't change. Thank you that your promises don't change. Thank you, Lord, that you can't be tempted by evil. Thank you, Lord, that you don't tempt us, but you test us. Help us, Lord, to rejoice in the fact that you are always God. We leave today, Lord, with confidence, because you are always God, and you are the one who always saved us, Lord. Thank you that because our salvation comes from you, it can never be lost. Doesn't depend on us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen.